Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful that we can be encouraged, and it is our desire that we would behold Him. Help us to be amazed again, afresh, anew, that Jesus became flesh and He did so for us. What a story. And I pray this day that You would help us to connect that story to the story of people's lives around us. Give us wisdom to know how to do that. Help us to be bold and wise, insightful, gentle as we engage with people, but we help them to see, behold, God became flesh. So Lord, would You help us today be equipped to be able to tell that story, to share with others. Behold, we pray You'd open our eyes, use Your word, help us to be encouraged and to be willing to share the story. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. What type of literature is the most common type of literature in all of the Bible? There's 66 different books in the Bible. It's a pretty long book, but what type of literature is most common in the Bible? Do you know? Say it again. Narrative or story. The most common kind of literature is story. There's lots of stories in the Bible. And in fact, the whole of the Bible is the story of God's redeeming work through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible is about. It is His story saying He's coming after us. He's coming for us. And He is doing so in the person of Jesus, the Son of God. When you think about building relationships, one of the ways to be able to go deeper with people and to be able to do that more quickly is to be able to help and understand and know their story. And what we find is that when we connect with someone's story and we get to hear their story, we can also then be able to tell our story, and then we can lead them to the story. That is, the story of all stories. And so that's what we're endeavoring to do today, is to look and see how do we engage with people to be able to gain friends so that we can help them understand the story. As we embark on the Advent season, we celebrate the incarnation. We just sang about it. What is Advent? It is coming. That's what the word means, literally, coming. And what's the incarnation? It is God become flesh. It is incarnate, in human. So here is the story that we're telling. And not surprisingly, we're going to do so with a story to help us be able to see that. And it's a story that Jesus told. Jesus calls us in this story to gain friends who will join us for all eternity. And we're going to get very practical today. And we're going to help you be able to understand and know how you can take conversations to be able to go quicker and deeper into having a friendship built with those people. Now, maybe some of you don't need any help with that, but a lot of us, we find we could use some help with it. So we're going to go to one of my favorite parables. It is Luke chapter 16, verses 1 to 9. If you want to follow along in a chair Bible, that's found on page 730. It's an amazing story that Jesus tells. Here we go. Jesus told His disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and he asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management because you cannot be manager any longer.'" Okay, now pause right there for a second. This is an interesting story. He opens this story saying, this guy's getting canned. He's getting fired. Now, that's just not your everyday story, is it? And then he goes on and he says, "The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses.' So he called each one of his master's debtors, and he asked the first one, 'How much do you owe my master?' 900 gallons of olive oil, he replied. And then the manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down, and write it as 450. Then he asked the second one, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat. He replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. Now, are you catching this? He just told this story of this guy ripping off his boss. He's cooking the books, to use the good accounting term, to be able to win friends after he loses his job. And then Jesus goes on and says, the master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. Who said this story? For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. We're going to take that story and we're going to look at and see a motivation to gain friends, a method to gain friends, and a plan to keep friends. A motivation to gain friends. And then a method, and it's going to get very practical as to how to help gain friends. And then a plan to be able to keep friends. How can we keep them for all eternity? So let's talk first about a motivation to gain friends from this odd story. Is this not an odd story to you that Jesus tells this? And Jesus tells this guy of ripping off his boss to win favor, and you're kind of going, really, Jesus? They didn't teach us that in Sunday school. You know, we learned all this other stuff. Jesus does not often interpret his parables. A lot of times he doesn't. He leaves them. But this one, he does interpret. And notice what he says. Verse 8. The master commended the dishonest manager because he acted shrewdly. Now, he's still telling the story. This is actually the story. But he says in the story that the master commended the dishonest. He already calls him dishonest. This really is a ripoff. That's the story. He tells the story of a guy who's dishonest. But he commended him because he acted shrewdly. Did he commend his dishonesty? No. He commended his shrewdness. So why does he do that? Why does he tell this crazy story and then commend the guy and his shrewdness? Verse 8 goes on to tell us. Jesus tells us the point that he's making. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Here's what he's saying in a nutshell. People of this world, those people who are still in the darkness of the world and have not been transformed to become the people of light, people in this world, they use people to get money. They'll use people all sorts of ways to get what they want, and what they want is money. But you, who are the people of light, use money to get people so that they will welcome you into eternal dwellings. And notice what he says. He says, it isn't just money, though certainly it is to be our money. But he's essentially telling this crazy story about money to get us to see everything. Use everything. Use your time, your talent, your money, everything to be able to win people into eternity. Pull out all the stops. Invest everything in it. Be shrewd in becoming creative in winning people. That's what the people of light do. Look at what he says again in verse 9, the latter part. When it is gone, is your money going to be gone? One day it's going to all be gone, is it? Is your time going to be gone? You won't have any more time on this earth. It's going to end, isn't it? You aren't going to have any more talents to use here in this earth. Take all of it. Take all of it, everything you have, and invest it so that, notice this amazing saying, that you'll be welcomed into eternity. That's crazy, isn't it? But think about it. He's saying, if you invest your money, if you invest your time, and you invest your energies in winning people, you're going to have friends, and they're not going to be just friends for a time. They're going to be friends for all eternity. Why wouldn't you invest everything in being able to do that? That's what the people of light do. They'll put everything in, to be able to winning people to Jesus and telling them this amazing story. Behold. I want you to picture with me. You have a 10-year-old daughter. And suddenly one day on the playground, she passes out. A whole bunch of tests go on, and come to find out, she has some really rare heart problem. Unbelievably rare, but she has it. And it's absolutely fatal. She is going to die, and in a short time. However, you find out that in Japan, they have developed a very careful and very successful technique to do heart surgery and to save that girl. The problem is, it's only done in Japan. It's not yet approved to be able to be in the United States of America. By the time it is, your daughter is for sure going to be dead. The surgery costs $400,000. You could maybe come up with $4,000. No way you could come up with $400,000. So what do you do? You do a GoFundMe, you get bake sales, you contact, you write people, you find the money, right? That's what you do. You get $400,000. You know you can save this girl, and you're going to go and you're going to get the money. And how long is that 10-year-old going to live? 80 years? Maybe 90 years? But what about someone who's going to live eternally? What would you spend to be able to have that happen? Anything. That's what Jesus is saying. We'd spend it all to be able to win somebody into eternal dwellings so that when we get there, because all of this is temporary, we'll invest it all so that when we get there, they will welcome us there. Some of us have gotten used to saying goodbyes, and some of us are still going to have to struggle with that. But it isn't just a lifetime that we're looking to build friends for. It is for all eternity. And we're to do anything to be able to do that. So if we're willing to do anything, what about this? And I want to ask this. This is where we're going to transition now to the very practical stuff. Are you willing to just put in some learning? If Jesus is saying, spend it all to be able to do this, would you be willing to just put in some learning? I hope you are. And we're going to help you with that. So we're going to move on to a method to gain friends now and get really practical. Some of us were able to attend a bridge builder event. And when we went to this bridge builder event, we learned to connect. So now we're on a method to gain friends, point two. And so we're looking to connect with these people. Some people, they can just do this naturally. It's just super easy for them to be able to connect. But that's not true for all of us, is it? I mean, you ever walked up to somebody and you say, hey, I'm Gary, and they say, hey, I'm Joe, and then you go, and you're stuck. Now, the name is important, but going beyond that is also a really good idea. And so after you exchange names, keep the name. That's a good idea, and I even have trouble with that. I forget the name a lot of times when I go into a conversation, but you can go beyond that. Now, we got to have some really neat training a little while ago. It was called Bridge Builders, and I'm going to tell you a story. Actually, Darla is going to come up and tell a little bit of a story about that. What took place at Bridge Builders and what went on there. So tell us, you got to go to the Bridge Builder seminar. It was a whole weekend seminar. Why'd you go?
Well, admittedly, I wasn't really sure what I was getting into when I first went.
So a little coercion somewhere there, all right.
Yeah. But I'm so glad I went. It was so good. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a pretty outgoing person. I'm an extrovert. But even so, it's still always been difficult to get past that sort of superficial, can you believe this crazy weather, or hey, did you see the Packer game, right? Bridge Builders gave us some new tools in the area of conversation to help us get past the superficial and really start to connect with people at a much deeper level and start to focus on what was important to them.
Cool. And so, how did that training help you? Give me some practical, what did they do?
So one of the keys to the training was practice. They gave us the tools, and then we spent time for the whole weekend practicing these tools with each other. It really helped to build up my confidence to be able to start a conversation and know that I was going to be able to get past that awkward, stuck spot. Now, it doesn't just totally go away. I mean, but with the tools in hand, we were able to start with a one-minute conversation, build up through the course of the weekend to over 7 minutes, And at the end of 7 minutes, finding we had so much more to talk about, and it was actually hard to come back together as we would go through practicing this. So we basically spent the entire weekend just learning how to talk to each other, which was a lot of fun, but and it was a really safe space. Everybody was learning the same skills, so we could all kind of work through the awkwardness of how to use the tools and kind of get through it. But it was a lot of fun and actually really exhausting after a couple days.
Yeah, I can imagine the whole weekend of that. So it was exhausting, but was it worth it?
It was so worth it. It built my confidence so much, and I've been seeing a real difference, especially at work. I spend a lot of time at work, which I'm sure a lot of people do. But most of my conversations there, of course, are about work. I mean, I talk to people all day long about, you know, projects at work or giving direction or getting updates, but it's just all work stuff. After the Bridge Builders weekend, I was able to make an extremely intentional and concerted effort to start to connect with people at work personally, right? Mm. Beyond the work stuff. Talk to them about the other areas of their life and encourage them and affirm them. We learned some techniques even for that, to affirm people in things other than just their performance, you know, their work performance. And as my confidence builds and I can have more of these conversations, then ultimately the goal is to also be able to talk about more spiritual topics.
That's neat. So did you hear a key word in there that she talked about in what we did in the weekend? Practice. So if we practice, can she do it?
Mm-hmm.
What about him? Can he do it?
Yep.
That guy over there? What about him? Her back there?
Yep.
How about all of those guys? Can they do that?
Absolutely.
You can all do it with practice. Thank you, Darla.
Find a friend.
So here's the deal. You go handed another handout today besides just your bulletin that we typically give, and you might have already looked at that a little bit. It has the acronym FORM on it, okay? What does FORM stand for? Go ahead. You can look at it if you want, or you can have it up on the screen there for us. FORM stands for, go ahead, family, occupation, recreation, motivation. So you can talk to them, and after you go up and you say, hi, I'm Gary, and they say, hey, I'm Joe, then you can say to Joe, hey, tell me about your family. And sometimes that's all you got to say. And they got a big family, they got a complicated family, they got family problems or whatever, and they just roll with it. Or you walk up to the guy and you say, hey, so tell me about your family, and he goes, yeah, it's broke. Okay, well, that went over well, like a lead balloon. So then you just move on. Well, tell me about your job, Joe. What do you do for a living? And then you could ask questions, like some of those sub-questions. Well, is this the job of your dreams? Is this something that you really enjoy? How did you find yourself going into that job? And then you could talk about recreation. And you could say, what do you get? Now, if you get to recreation with a guy like me, you're going to hear some stuff. I like recreation. I have lots of hobbies, and so then I'll go into that. Now, after you go through those, and you have time, and you find that the conversation is going well, then you can say, hey, it sounds like you have a great family, you have a neat occupation, you enjoy what you're doing, and you enjoy lots of fun after-work activities as well. Tell me, is there something else in your life that motivates you to get up in the morning? You see, now you've started to go, what's at the core of your life? Who are you? And they might say, well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Or they might say, oh, yeah, it's Jesus. And you find out that this person is a believer. Or you might find out that they have no clue, and they might even say, I'd like to. But the point of going into motivation begins then to build. So form. Don't look at it. Take it off the screen, will you? Don't look up at the screen if it's still on there. Form. Say it with me. Form stands for family, occupation, recreation, motivation. Now, if we practice that a couple more times today, I bet you in 2 days, even if you ignore the sheet, I hope you won't. I hope you make sure you got one. You take it home with you. You work at it. You practice. You get at least a couple of those so that you can do it. But I bet I could ask you in a couple of days to say, what does FORM stand for? And you'd be able to say,
family, occupation, recreation, motivation.
And so you know now how to be able to welcome somebody. Even in the church, somebody comes walking in and you don't know them. Somebody sitting near you today, you see and you don't really know them. You can walk up to them. You can get their name and then you can say, practice it. It's okay. Safe place. You are commissioned today to do that. And walk up and talk to them about their family. Ask them about their occupation. Don't keep them for an hour. That's okay. But, you know, engage and welcome people well here. I regularly hear from people how friendly our congregation is. But I also still watch people once in a while who are here as guests, and they walk out those doors while, meanwhile, we're in our little conversations and enjoying each other's company. Let's not do that. Let's welcome people well. Here's some tools to be able to do that. But practice will help you to do that so that we can do this well. Practice it. Practice it at home. FORM stands for Family, Occupation, Recreation, and motivation, and you will find that you can do more in being able to do that. So here we have this idea of being able to have a practical plan for making friends. But now we want to talk, point three, of a plan to keep friends. Now the idea is, how do we keep friends? How do we keep friends for all eternity? The point is that unless someone comes to faith in Christ, we can be the friendliest people in the world. Our church can be the friendliest people, but we want to get to a point at some point where hearing their story, helping them to know our story, that we get to then tell them the story. Because it's nice to have friends here, but what we really want is for them to be friends for all eternity. No more goodbyes. No more struggling with those kind of things, but we want them to be friends. And only Jesus can do that. So how do we keep eternity in mind? How do we share the story of that? Well, one verse can do it. And I want you to memorize the verse. That's what I'm asking you to do. This is your homework. It's Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Work on memorizing that one verse. And with that one verse, you can lead someone to faith in Christ. Here's how you do it. Watch this.
Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's look a little closer at keywords in this verse. How would you feel if, for any reason at all, your employer refused to pay your hard-earned salary? We all have an innate sense of justice. Wages for a job well done, doing time for a misdeed. In a similar sense, we deserve the proper wages from God for how we live our lives. Sin is living independently of God. Sometimes it's active rebellion. Often, it's simply excluding God from our lives. In the Bible, death always means separation from God. The Bible says that all have sinned. We all deserve to be eternally separated from a holy, sinless God. That's the bad news. But hang in there. This one single tiny word is a very important hinge. Death is the bad news, but the good news is coming right up. While wages are earned, a gift, on the other hand, is something we get for free. A gift is free for the receiver, but the giver had to shoulder the cost. In this case, it was God Himself who purchased this gift. We have pointed out that death is eternal separation from God. Its polar opposite is eternal life. This is our gift from God, eternal life. It was Jesus who paid the price. No one else can offer this gift. No one else can afford the cost. God took the initiative to reconcile us to Himself through Christ's work on the cross. Our part is to trust that His word is true and repent of all that the Bible calls sin. Jesus desires to forgive us, but we must choose to take Him on His offer. Would you like to start a relationship with God that will last forever? We invite you to say a short prayer in your own words. Ask Jesus to come into your life and to forgive your sins.
And there it is. And if you've never prayed to receive Christ, today's the day. That gift is for you. But how long did that video take? 2 minutes. And can you watch that video over and over again and practice with it? And there's much longer ones. All you've got to do is Google one verse evangelism, you'll get a couple of, about tens of thousands of examples of different people who have shown you how to do this one verse. And you can watch some longer ones to learn how to do it, to get tools in. Well, we did that also in the Bridge Builder weekend. Darla, come up and tell us about your experience with that. Because you got to have better conversations, but it didn't stop there, right?
That's right.
It went on. Tell us that story.
It did. So part of the Bridge Builder weekend was a portion of training where they actually taught us how to do just that. And after the first service, a lot of people said that they'd seen that many years ago. Well, I've been a Christian for a little over 30 years. I actually accepted Christ when I was like 2, just so you know. But I'd actually never seen that before. So it was actually a real highlight for me to actually see that being done. I never had known how to present clearly the gospel like that. I had shared my own testimony a couple of times, my personal testimony about how I came to faith in Christ and, you know, what the change was in my life. But I never had really succinctly and directly shared the gospel message and how a person could become a Christian.
And I suspect that in this room, you're not alone, Darla, that many of us have maybe walked with Christ for a long time, but we've never taken that step to be able to sit down and really share with somebody, here's how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I suspect that through the training then, you maybe got a follow-up story to that. What else happened?
I do. So after we were introduced to this verse, just like you saw it in the video, we had a chance to practice. It looked really easy. I mean, just watching the video, it looks so easy, but I had never done this before. So we paired up in the group, and I was paired up with this one guy, and I just got to tell you that I had talked to this guy before, and honestly, I just wasn't really sure he was going to get it, because it was Gary. But he did good. He played his role well, and I guess I did okay, because in the end, he accepted Christ.
So kudos to you. You got to win your pastor to Jesus. That's a good start. But then there's more to the story.
There is more. So after having that great opportunity to practice and really learn how to do things, to present that in my own words, God presented an opportunity that he completely orchestrated. I've been part of a women's prayer group at my workplace for a number of years, probably over 10 years. And we have a mix, it's non-denominational, we have a pretty wide mix of ladies who participate in that. We've done some studies in the past, but most recently, most of the time, what we'll do is just connect for about 15 to 30 minutes, or sometimes closer to an hour, where we'll just share life. We usually share a devotion, and then we pray for each other. And we've been doing this for some time. One of my longtime coworkers and friends is in that group, and she's probably been in there since the very beginning. She comes from a different faith background, and I knew that even though she was in that group, she never had really been presented a clear gospel message and an opportunity or to be invited or led to receive Christ personally. So on that morning that God orchestrated this, and I won't share every detail, but you guys know how God does that, right? He just orchestrates things. Only the two of us were at our prayer meeting that morning. And the devotion that we shared together sparked her to share with me struggles she was having with doubt about her faith and her own unworthiness and her salvation and really ultimately her fear of death. Huh. God opened the door. And for the first time in my life, I felt like I was actually ready to take the next step with her. And so I walked through Romans 6:23, like you saw there, and actually I have a picture. This is the actual drawing that I did for her that morning. You can tell I am not an artist. You don't have to be an artist to be able to share this, which is good. But anyway, for her, as I walked her through this, I was just really able to emphasize for her that it's all about Christ.
Amen.
It's all about what he did for her and not about her own worthiness. Praise the Lord for all of us. But that she could be assured of her salvation because of what Christ did for her. And we were both completely in tears by the end, and I am thrilled to be able to say that after that, I was able to help her pray to receive Christ that day.
That's cool. Yay for Jesus and Darla, right?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So I was just gonna close that. She has changed so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, really at the end of that time, she shared with me this huge weight that was lifted off of her. And I continue to encourage her, and I just give God the glory, and I'm so grateful for the work that we did that weekend to really equip me to be able to share the gospel that day.
Cool. Yeah. So key word again you heard her say was? Practice. So can she do this?
Yep.
What about her? What about him? What about him? What about that? Could all of these guys do this?
They can.
They can all do that. You can all do this if you practice. Thank you, Darla. So this video is online. You can, again, just Google and say one verse evangelism. There's literally tens of thousands of examples of this. This one's 2 minutes. You can get it in 8 minutes. You can learn to be able to do this. Advent is about the coming of Jesus. But we get to tell the story to be able to help people know that there is an offering that we can give. Okay, young people, kids, want your help for a second. The three wise men, well, we don't know it's three. Sorry, I went to, cheated there, singing a song too often, right? But the magi or the wise men went and they brought three things. What did they bring? Anybody remember? Just the kids. Gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they brought that. So the idea is they brought those as a gift to Jesus. Jesus told us this story about using money so that when it's gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Would we be willing to bring an offering of practice in this week and bring these stories of hearing someone else's story, connecting them with our story, and ultimately being able to tell them the story? That's what we want to encourage you to do. Would you just offer that practice and that engagement, learning this, and then ask God to put in your way, put in your conversations, an opportunity to do this? Maybe it's somebody you've been around for a long time, but you could go through FORM. FORM stands for family, occupation, recreation, and motivation. And maybe at that motivation you could say, do you really have something that you know will last beyond this life? And then see if they do. And go into that. If we practice, we will find that in fact we can move into these things. We're going to make it even simpler for that during Advent. We're going to give you invites that you can hand to somebody. They say that 70% of Americans, if they were just invited to church, who are unchurched Americans, that they would come to church if someone personally invited them. So let's invite. Let's engage this conversation. Let's be friends who make friends that last for all eternity. Hear their story. Tell your story. And connect them to the story. That's where we're going. Jesus plainly told us in a crazy story, pull out all the stops, win people into eternal dwellings. Practice this and you'll be able to move into that and do that. Trust God to use you. He can. By God's grace, He can do in you just what He's done in Darla. Be prepared to share the gospel. You can do it too. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you equip us with everything we need for life and godliness. And I pray that you would help us to be able to know that, not just in knowledge, but in our heart of hearts. And it would give us a confidence. Some of us, we've been aware of this for a long time, but we really haven't taken those steps to be well prepared and equipped and ready to give an answer of the hope that is in us. So, Lord, this week, help us to engage this. Give us a conversation that goes beyond, that we know is being orchestrated by you moving in us. And then give us from that the confidence to tell the story of Jesus. Use us, Lord. Build your church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.